Podcast Tuesday is also Moving Day Tuesday. I told Janet yesterday, and Janet and I both, Janet's my wife, of course, it's a really busy time, like it is for a lot of people in life. So I was telling her yesterday, I called her on the way home and said, God, I can't believe it. Tomorrow is my last day in that studio. Can you believe that? I mean, things are so hectic. I don't know about you, but it's not the way it used to be way back in the day where, like when I was growing up, no matter what, we sat down as a family, we had dinner every single night. But now when you have kids, and I've got a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old, they're going different directions. I'm going this way. Janet's going that way. Jake's going this way. Logan's got to get to practice. We very rarely can all sit together and have dinner, which is sad, man. It's pathetic. Really pathetic. And we do the best we can, but literally our schedules are that different. So it's not like back in the day where I'd sit at dinner and say, wow, this is our last week or this is our last 3 days. It may have been the first time I was able to say to Janet, I can't believe it, but tomorrow is my last day in that studio. Can you believe that? And I didn't even say it to her in person. I said it over the phone. And her response was, don't cry. Don't cry. I said, I'm not going to cry, but I mean, it's a little weird and a little sad. So I'm not going to cry. Not like Jeff in San Antonio.
War me and my fiance?
War my last day in this studio? I can't believe it. But what we are doing is talking about some of our favorite memories of the past decade in this studio. And I'm sharing mine, and I'm asking you to share yours. This guy hit on a really good one. Jimmy, one of the greatest moments in studio history was a direct result of one of my unwars. Well, no wonder he remembers it. It's because of him. Unwar, the made-for-TV version of Die Hard, Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon. It led to Tom Rothman calling in, and finally, eventually, Bruce Willis calls in. Boom! You're welcome. Chad in Orlando. All right, first of all, Chad, that's not exactly how that went down. That's not exactly how that happened. And I'll be honest, Chad, no offense, because probably you've gotten a lot of mileage out of this. I don't even know if you were the guy that did that. But if you say you were, I'll go along with it. But it is true. Somebody, maybe Chad, did hit us with an unwar, the made-for-TV version of Die Hard. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Okay, this is a huge, huge Die Hard house. You know that. Maybe my favorite movie ever. And yippee-ki-yay, bleep bleep, is one of the greatest lines ever in any movie. Except when they made it for TV, they had to dub over McClane with Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay,
so I was going
Mr.
off
Falcon.
On how utterly absurd that was the entire program. I mean, that was a reason to go. That was insulting. It worked its way back to another celebrity, Tom Rothman, who was responsible for the Die Hard franchise, who was running the Fox studio. Apparently, he didn't even know about that. And it worked its way back to him, and he was every bit as angry about it as even I was.
Driving in, I almost drove off the road. I thought, it's an outrage. I was outraged. And it's a good thing that Jim Rome is on the case. Heads are going to roll. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon? Are you kidding me?
How awesome was that guy? Tom Rothman was incredible. I was driving in, I heard it, and I almost drove off the road. Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon, are you kidding me? Heads will roll. Great moment. Now, Chad, eventually Bruce Willis did not call in. At least not over that. It was about 2 years later, so you're embellishing this story quite a bit. Bruce Willis called in, and it was to promote one of the Die Hard movies. And I got to admit, McClane was a little disappointing, given how this guy had been deified on this show for so long, one of my favorite actors, one of my favorite guys. It was not the easiest conversation to have, but that's how it goes on this show. There have been guys that I've so badly wanted to talk to and finally got the opportunity. And, you know, the harsh reality is they don't know who the hell I am and really don't give a damn and have no knowledge of what I've said about them in the past. I think McClane was one of those guys. But we got him. We got him. Didn't go as well as I had hoped, but we got him. All right, so let me finish the thought. Now, Fonzie, on the other hand, was amazing. It was amazing. And last hour, I played that entire bit, and the bit was organic, and I've gone over and over why that meant so much to me. But that wasn't the end of it. There was one more part of that. He won his CCA. He accepted his CCA. And when I already thought that he was the best guy ever, there was one more thing. He left a voicemail for us talking about what the win meant to him a couple of months after the fact when we sent him the trophy.
The next message is...
Hi, Henry Winkler here. How are you? I hope you had a good weekend. So I just got home from Boston after 3.5 months of making a movie. Walked into my office, and there is my Jim Award. It made me smile. I'm just the greatest. Now, I saw it before I left, but wow, to come back to it, you know? It's right there on my desk. Give him my best, will you? The best. Bye.
Freaking Fonz left that voicemail message for us. The Jim Award. Remember, he was the one that pushed me to say, hey, listen, I don't care what it is. I don't care what its value is. Maybe it's a piece of paper, but I would love to have an actual award for the award. So we sent him the bobble doll, the bobblehead, and he still made a point of calling us and leaving a voicemail message saying, thank you so much. That's so neat. So Fonz rules. Always will. Always has. 2011, ESPN's Bob Lee. And Bob Lee is... he's OG. Bob Lee is so great. What a great journal he is. I've got nothing but admiration and respect for Bob Lee, his career, his work, the way he handles himself. The guy's a legend. So back in 2011, he reads the lyrics to a Jay-Z song on his show. Alvin got a hold of that, and Alvin worked his magic. He dropped a bed underneath it, and it created this all-time great jungle drop featuring ESPN's Bob Lee.
We so big we ain't got to respond. When you're talking to a Don, please have respect like you're talking to your mom. We let the money do the talking. Who the f*** is overrated? If anything, they underpaid him. We ain't in the same league. You could lie to yourself. You can't lie to me. I don't know. I don't even know what y'all name. I'm too big for you, the rap LeBron James. I don't know what y'all on. This is chess. Know the difference between the king and the pawn.
So great. So great that you clones then voted for it later on that year for a CCA, a Clones Choice Award. You know, I've thought about this so many times. We should probably bring back the Clones Choice Awards at some point. But that was back in 2011. You clones voted him a winner. And sure enough, even as long as I worked at ESPN, I never had an encounter or an interaction with Bob Lee, I don't think, ever. But he came on the show despite that fact, and he accepted his Clones Choice Award.
This is right at the top. It leaves me speechless. I mean, I've got the staff right now dusting the mantle for the statuette, which I assume will be FedEx shortly.
Have any record labels or producers approached you?
Yeah, we've got several deals in the works, and expect some major, major tracks to be dropping early in 2012.
All right, so what I'm saying is, when public figures, celebrities come on, they play along, they get it. It's so much fun. The Fonz, Tom Rothman, Bob Lee. Also in May of 2011, you might remember, there was big news which dropped that Arnold Schwarzenegger had a child with his maid. That's not the weird part. The weird part is how he found out by going on Maury Povich's show.
You say it's not your child.
You are the father.
You bastards!
So, that was a thing back in the day. You clones loved that thing back in the day. Maury naturally wins a CCA for that year. Maury's another person who I'd never met, never spoken to, but another legend of the industry. He'd been in the business a long, long, long time. He came on the program, and he accepted his award.
If it was just a regular sports show, I mean, I could take it, but from you, I mean, to me, the king of the jungle, the one who really has created and invented a whole lexicon when it comes to radio talk shows, I mean, I can't think of it. There's not a higher award I can think of.
Maury Povich. He's so awesome. All class. So when I think about some of the great moments, a lot of them came from that CCA of that year, the Clones Choice Awards. How about back in 08? In 08, we had been here maybe a couple of years. And when you're in California, and especially if you are a native to this state, we all know about earthquakes. And I don't want to say that we all live in fear of earthquakes, but we all live with the knowledge that the big one's coming. The big one's coming. We know it's only a matter of time. We don't know when it's going to come. And they try and chart this type of thing. And I'm sure there are scientists that have a better idea than I would. I can't spend every single day wondering, like, is it going to hit right now? Is today the day? Is this the month? Is it the year? I know it's coming. And every time there's an earthquake and we're not swallowed up or we don't fall into the ocean, we know, all right, that's not the one. Maybe that's going to relieve a little bit of pressure. But we know they're coming. And not only are they coming, but they happen during the show. I've had several earthquakes happen while I was on the air, both on TV and radio, because I work out of L.A., in and around L.A. Well, back in July of 08, I was interviewing John Calipari, and we had a 5.4 earthquake hit L.A. That's a big earthquake, and it happened during this show.
And I think he's going to do well, but you're in a different country. They don't speak the language. You're going to have different diets. You're going to have...
Hey, Cal, I got to interrupt you for 1 second. We got a good jolt working right here in Southern California. That was a good earthquake right there. Boy, this building is swinging. That was a good jolt.
Come on, really?
Hey, Cal, you've been in the studio. You know how high up I am.
Oh, wow. I'm happy I'm in Vegas.
Not only was that a good jolt, that was a long jolt, as earthquakes go. In fact, I got to say, I'm a little seasick right now.
That is the best.
That was pretty good.
Well, then I got to stay on this phone with you to make sure you're all right.
Do you
I
got
need to
you,
call
Cal.
911?
Yeah, you know. No, I'm going to be all right. I'm quite all right. And for your information, I did not go under the desk. I stayed in my seat. I handled that like a man. That was back in 08, but that was a big, big earthquake, 5.4. And when you're 16 floors up, you know the way they build buildings here, that thing rolled, literally. It was rolling, and it was long. And when you have an earthquake like that, I don't know about you, I'm not great with motion anyway. You start to feel kind of seasick when an earthquake goes that long. So that happened right in the middle of an interview with John Calipari. I'll always remember that. This guy comes at it a different way. This email says, not sure if it was in this studio, but as a longtime listener, one of my favorite moments was a whole show where you did not take one call, but instead kept playing old calls that were good. At the same time, though, you weren't acknowledging that they were old calls, and you'd go to them as if they were just calling in. The context of the calls was way off, and it took me for a while to figure it out. But to me, that troll job was freaking hilarious. Keep up the good work, Rome. Robert in Amarillo, UPS driver. Yeah, I did that once where I was saying, God, you know what'd be great? If one of the legends would call to get us started, and then I just played some call from like 5 years ago that was in the archives. And then, as always, clones bid hard and were calling up and saying, or emailing and saying, hey, Rome, good call, but insert whoever it was. Like Kerwin in Riverside pretty much should update his take. You know, and then they cracked him for talking about something that happened 5 years ago. Well, it's because the call was 5 years old. And I kept going to archive calls that were from years ago. And idiots, of course, kept screaming, come on, man, update your take. What's Terrence talking about? Jordan won 6 titles. And they went for it. I did it for an entire program. I played nothing but old calls that were on tape. And there was still a big chunk of the audience that was freaking out saying, come on, man, really? If I'm not mistaken, during that show, I think we played Terrence calls, 3 Terrence calls in a row. Like, no way, he called back. Yeah, Rome, not only did he call back, but you took his call again. And you took his call again, and listen to what he's talking about, Rome. Come on, man. Oh my gosh, it's Terrence for a third time. And people were just enraged. Man, never, ever, ever cease to amaze how gullible. I mean, I could pull that crap right now and it would work again. It just would. So these are some of the good times. When we come back, Yogi Roth.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Sounds a lot like Stone Sour, doesn't it? Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Listen, really quickly. We're moving today, but we're working tomorrow. We're not off the rest of the week. Some of you are under the false impression that we're not going to be in because we're moving. We're doing it tonight, as long as it takes. We're moving as soon as we're done with Podcast Tuesday. So we'll be on the air tomorrow, assuming that that studio is set up and ready to roll. We will be on the air tomorrow. So don't think that we're not coming in. We'll be here. As promised, we're joined right now by a Pac-12 football analyst. He is a filmmaker. He is a New York Times bestselling author. He's got a great podcast, Life Without Limits. He is host of the Season of Sam podcast as well with Sam Darnold. My man's pushing out a lot of content. Very busy guy. Yogi Roth is back. My man, Yogi, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I love coming on. How are you?
Great to have you on. I'm doing great. Everything's perfect here. So let me start with this. Yesterday, I had the introduction of Chip Kelly as the new head coach at UCLA. Friday night, you have the Pac-12 title game with USC and Stanford. I have asked you before, but I'm going to ask you again right now. On a Tuesday morning in late November, how great is ball?
Oh, man, I love it. It doesn't get any better. I mean, in L.A., too, or in California, it's lit up. I mean, A, the waves are pumping, so that's great. Right. Chip Kelly is fired up. We had a great time with him yesterday. Got to hang out with him after the press conference for a little bit, and he was awesome. You know, that reminded me, you know, of when Pete Carroll came to SC. You know, I remember talking to Pete about it, even when we were writing his book, Win Forever. He talked about the initial press conference and how he wanted to, you know, he treated it like a game, like he was going to go win that. And both of these guys coming off of two jobs in the NFL that didn't necessarily work out the way that they, I'm sure, you know, hoped they would. He came in and crushed it. I mean, his first line, I mean, there's over 200 people there, Jim. It was insane, bigger than any national championship press conference that I've seen, or Rose Bowl press conference, or even coaches hiring across town at SC. This was gnarly. And he walks in and he goes, man, nothing really going on in LA today, huh?
Right.
And he owned the room from the beginning. And for me, what was really cool was talking to him afterwards. He was so personable. You know, this is a guy who's known as being recluse, you know, being all about football. And he looked as effervescent, as exuberant, as open as any coach out there. And I think he's going to crush it. It's going to be really fun to watch football in L.A., man.
Yogi Roth joining us. You know, it's so interesting what you just said, because I think about Chip Kelly, and at least from a media standpoint, Yogi, I see it the same way. Like, when he was with Oregon, we always had him on. He was always really engaging. I was, like, talking to him. But then when he went to the NFL, he, like you said, he was kind of reclusive. You couldn't really get to him. He was locked in. I'm curious, though, even before it was announced, you had been saying that your gut was telling you that he was going to pick UCLA. Why was that, and how do you like the fit for him and for the school?
Well, I think a couple reasons. One, you know, Pac-12 football, I think, you know, a lot of coaches, when you talk to them, they said the SEC is the most competitive college football conference, and they want to go there and see what that's all about. And I think that it is from a brand standpoint, because there's nothing else going on. So every week feels like the NFL. And you lose, and you're buried. When you look at the Pac-12, clearly that's not the case, because we got other stuff going on, right? You're building Snapchat up at Stanford while you're prepping for the Pac-12 title game. I mean, it's just a different environment on the West Coast. But coaches-wise, I'd challenge anybody to say, find a deeper conference of gifted, not only head coaches, but coordinators who will be head coaches. So I think the mental challenge for Chip Kelly coming to UCLA, outside of the fishbowl of the SEC, for when he said yesterday, one of the biggest takeaways for me was, in the NFL, you're at the cutting edge of athlete and the cutting edge of coaches. And you play a lot of talented teams like the Seahawks twice a year, and you got to flip your game plan around. So you have to be so sharp situationally, you know, in so many different minutes. He said every game in the NFL, there's almost like a two-minute drill to win the game. We see it every Sunday. So I think for him, the challenge is greater football-wise to come back to this conference at UCLA and win here from a schematic standpoint, because of the diversity of schemes that you have to defend, because of the amount of talent at the coaching. You know, you look at Mike Leach getting offered jobs. You look at David Shaw, every NFL GM is going after him every year. You know, you look, even Clay Helton has opportunities if he wants to go to other conferences. I mean, all the coaches in this conference, for the most part, that are here, or even the ones that have gotten let go, like Jim Mora or Todd Graham, they had other offers the last couple of years. So I think that it was a big draw for him there. And then I think L.A. Is just a unique draw for anybody. It is such a cool challenge. You clearly don't have to be from the West Coast to perform well here. John Wooden is the best, is the greatest example. And here's Chip Kelly, you know, like he said yesterday. I think he said Chippy on his way to Hollywood or to L.A., coming from New Hampshire. It's kind of a unique story, and I think he's going to thrive in this environment, man.
Yogi Roth joining us once again. All right, so Yogi, Friday night, you're going to be part of the Pac-12 Network's pregame coverage for the title game. USC thumped Stanford 42-24 when they met back in September. What kind of thoughts do you have heading into the rematch?
I'm pumped. I mean, first thoughts, how great is ball, right? I mean, you look at this one, and for Stanford, you know, of course, Bryce Love. I mean, what he's done is not given enough love. I know you give him the respect that he deserves, but doing it on, you know, one leg with an offense that has been up and down at the quarterback position, and everybody knows he's going to get the rock, has been incredibly impressive, you know, showcasing his strength, which is not just being a speedy scat back that I think a lot of people think that he is. Now, this guy's way stronger than people are giving him credit for when you see him run through the hole. But I went back and watched the games yesterday, and what Stanford's doing on offense, it's not just power and fade in the red zone. It's zone read. It's RPOs. I mean, it's all the stuff that you're seeing Sam Darnold do, KJ Costello's doing, and now he's really comfortable. You know, I called his first start against Arizona State when they won that ball game, and watching him against Notre Dame, he's as comfortable as he has ever been. This defense is flying around. I can't wait to see how this one shakes out. I think for USC, obviously having a bye week is huge, getting healthy. Do they get Porter Gustin back, an edge player that would be huge for them? Chenna Nwosu is probably the most non-talked-about defensive player, will be a first-round draft pick in the country. Their outside backer, edge player, is a freak. And the big matchup that I'm looking for that nobody's probably talking about is going to be the edges of Stanford's offense going up against USC's secondary. I think for SC, they've been inconsistent there throughout the season, been banged up a little bit. I think the timing of the run-pass option game, when you have to have eyes in the backfield in case they give it to Bryce Love and company, will allow KJ Costello to be able to throw the ball. So I think this is going to be an explosive game. And then, of course, for SC, they've got straight gamers. Sam Darnold is a baller. I mean, he is like the Steph Curry of football. You know, I think he's that elite that he can carry a team. Ronald Jones, gifted at the back as a slasher back. He can fit it beautifully all game. One miss, it's a house call similar to Bryce Love. And Deontay Burnett is as consistent of a wide receiver as we've seen all season long, I think, around the country. So those three guys, they elevate any deficiencies that SC may have on their offensive front or injuries they've had at the tight end position. So I think it's best versus best, man. I think it's going to be an epic game, and see if the South can finally get a win. They haven't won one Pac-12 title yet.
That's it. Yogi Roth joining us. Let me ask you this. You're a Heisman voter for the first time this year. The Heisman Trust mission statement says, quote, "The Heisman Memorial Trophy annually recognizes the outstanding college football player whose performance best exhibits the pursuit of excellence with integrity," end quote. So when you hear that phrase, pursuit of excellence with integrity, does it make it any more difficult for you to vote for Baker Mayfield? How are you going to approach that?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, I was so honored when I got the call this summer to get a vote. You know, you dream up. I grew up in a town of 2,500 people with no stoplights. The only thing that existed was high school football, man. So I watched the Heisman as closely as anybody. Never thought I'd have a vote. Went to college and I saw Larry Fitzgerald be second in the Heisman, the guy who is the definition of excellence with integrity. Went to SC, obviously saw Matt and Reggie, you know, win their award. Covered Marcus when I think, you know, he gave what in my eyes was the greatest Heisman speech I've ever heard, because I think it changed the way that Pop Warner and high school kids approached the game. And then I was there when Christian lost. So I've seen a variety of different dynamics around it. And when I look at this one, the first thing I do is look at the journey of the student athlete, where they came from. You know, Baker Mayfield was a walk-on. You know, think about what he's done. It's insane where he's at, you know, as a front runner for the Heisman Trophy. But I also look at his path, and I look at his consistent behavioral patterns, right? And there's just elements that are just factual they have to talk about, whether it was, you know, issues with the law in the offseason, whether it's elements that he's had on the field. And that all stems from maybe the edge that I think you have to have as a walk-on. I was a walk-on who got a Scholarship, and you have to be different than guys that get that offer coming out of high school. Then I look at Bryce, 4.5 GPA, biology major at Stanford, what this guy's done coming from North Carolina all the way to the Stanford community and excelling there, and, oh, by the way, balling out. So, and I look at those two things, and I look at the definition of the award, right? It's not the most outstanding player. We have that. Not the most outstanding quarterback. We have that. We have the Doak Walker Award for running back. It's different. And I think the definition to me is a reason why it tilts today. And I haven't cast a vote, even though I got my ballot yesterday. I haven't cast a vote until after everybody's done playing. I lean towards Bryce because that's what the award is. And I think the Heisman Trophy should have the opportunity to give an award and take it back. You know, if you don't live with excellence with integrity and are impacting the next generation of athletes in a positive manner that award should reflect, you shouldn't be able to talk as though you have that award. And I say that based on one experience, and I'll share this story with you. When Johnny Manziel was drafted, you know, you get in my position, sometimes you talk to people in NFL, you know, worlds. And I can remember talking to the front office of the Browns, and I got on the table for him, and my opinion didn't sway them one way or the other. But in my eyes, I knew Johnny a decent amount from the Elite 11 days. He was a counselor. I'd been around him. And I was like, you know, this is a guy who just made a couple mistakes. He's a great kid. He's going to be fine. You know, he just had to learn the hard way a couple times. And what happened? His behavioral patterns were what they were. And we saw obviously what happened with his career. So I look at Baker, and I'm not painting him in the same light as Johnny Manziel, but I'm saying you have to take into account behavioral patterns are what they are when you compare them to the behavioral patterns of Bryce Love. And at least then you look at how they're playing, and they're both playing at ridiculously high levels. It's not an easy decision, but if it's based on that definition of excellence with integrity, I lean towards Bryce right now. And that's the definition of the award. Is that how the 900-plus voters vote? I don't know. I'm a rookie in this, but I'll be damned if I'm not going to go by the letter of the law my first time and every time I vote, because I've seen this break people's hearts. I've seen people win the award, lose the award, be crushed by the award. And that's why I'm looking at the simple sentence that you started off this question with as the litmus test of how I'm going to cast the ballot after the games are played on Saturday.
A rookie in this, but a filmmaker, a New York Times bestselling author. If you like what you're hearing right now, you should definitely tune into Life Without Limits. That's Yogi Ross podcast. He also hosts the Season of Sam podcast with Sam Darnold and a Pac-12 football analyst with the conference championship coming up. Yogi, you crushed it. Great to have you back. It is great to have you on the show as always, and we'll do it again really soon. Great to talk to you, Yogi.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate it, man.
Talk to you soon. Yogi Roth, he is so good. That is really interesting. So, looking at the letter of the law, looking at what the Heisman Trust mission statement is, quote, the Heisman Memorial Trophy annually recognizes the outstanding college football player whose performance best exhibits the pursuit of excellence with integrity. Excellence with integrity. I do not have a vote. But he said he does. The vote means everything to him, and he's looking at it, and right now, he'll wait to vote until all the playing is done, but he's leaning towards Bryce Love because of that. All right, your thoughts. When we come back, our last segment ever in this studio. Last chance for you to call with your thoughts on some of your favorite memories from this studio over the past decade. That's coming up next. Podcast Tuesday, Daryl Morey is my guest. Episode 15 drops a little bit later on. And in fact, something different. The Sparrow is going to come in for a short sit-down. Want to get his thoughts on his first year here in the Jungle ZP. Was it what he expected? His best day, his worst day, his best decision, his worst decision. What it's like to deal with you clones. What advice he has for you clones. That's going to be part of episode 15. Daryl Morey and Adam Hack. What? I got to get you a sports update right now. Here you go. When it gets cold out there, your car needs some extra attention, from choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades. O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you get the car in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Great day. Great last day here in the jungle. My thanks to Yogi Roth, Carlos Dansby, Terry Stotts. Podcast Tuesday. Last chance, last thoughts. This story breaking. I mentioned that Blake Griffin went down last night, and it didn't look good, but we had to wait and see what the diagnosis was. David Aldridge tweets, sprained MCL for Blake Griffin, per source. Will be out for a while, but the Clips are relieved it wasn't worse. Could have been worse. Still really bad. They're in the 10th spot overall in the West. He's going to be out for a while. They're already banged up. They're without Chris Paul. This is not a good thing for them at all. So what is pretty much a brutal season just got that much worse. It could have been worse, but it's hard to see them coming back from that, even with a sprained MCL. And it looks like he'll, quote, be out for a while. So I'm asking you for some of your favorite memories of the past decade. It's our last few minutes in this studio. Again, we're in this week. Assuming something technologically does not break down on me, we're moving today. We'll be on the air tomorrow in a new studio. Romers, best memory, one word, two syllables, hack off. More specifically, Matt in Cleveland.
What's going on?
What's up?
First of all, being a star linebacker in Canada, that just means you're a failed hockey player. Christy Alley, Val Kilmer, global warming.
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that. Christy Alley. Val Kilmer, global warming. Matt in Cleveland, 2011. This is why the hack off existed. It was so bad, it was incredible. And then it was just so bad, it was terrible. He also references the G-O-A-T, GOAT, Jolene. Jolene in Farmington. What's up, girlfriend?
How you doing, Rome?
Good, Jolene. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I know everybody's been anticipating my call.
Hell yes, they are. What do you got for them?
All kinds of BS.
Hey, join anytime you want to start's fine. Let it rip.
What I got to say for Fabian is he's a German Shepherd rescue mix. And there's nothing more than sadder than one man hockey sacking by himself. Oh, yeah, I guess there is. Ish. Hey, what up, Ish? I'm going down. I'm going to take all y'all down like Meta World Peace, baby. You can't come back from me. Hey, War Child, please. Kiss a baby. Meta World Peace, baby. This call is the biggest thing since the Prince William and Kate Middleton's wedding, and the world's going to stop rotating when I sit in the room with Jim Rome and co-host the show. Hey, just for future reference, I like my coffee black. That's for you, Ish.
Jolene, are you still there?
I'm out, Bo.
That was 2012. That was the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of the hack off. It was all downhill from there. It never came anywhere near that ever again. So like I said, there was a time when it was so horrible, it was incredible. In fact, the hack off was better than the smack off. The hack off literally was better than the smack off. It was so bad, it was legendary. And it never, ever was any better than it was with that phone call from Jolene.
Hey.
And then it went downhill.
Yo.
Frank and Raleigh writes, play it now, thank me later. Incredible decade, Rome. Can't wait to hear and watch the next decade. Frank and Raleigh. This email says, hi, Jimmy. With all this talk of memories and fooling your listeners, it reminded me of my favorite jungle moment in your current studio. It was when you couldn't get anything by that one clone, Larry, in Indiana. You played some doctored clips of Nick Saban saying that he wasn't going to be the head coach at a few different places, and that's when Larry hit you with the classic, can't fool me, Rome. Today has been awesome, Jim, as have been the last 10 years. Thanks, Dana in Cedar Rapids, a.k.a. Jan Smack, War Lady Clones. Nice job, Dana. She's talking about this. Let's go to Larry in Indiana. Larry, it's good to have you on the show. How are you?
I got a little problem with what you're trying to pull on America.
What's that?
Well, me and my cousin, we both work at Radio Shack. And we could tell that audio is doctored. We slowed it down. As soon as it gets to LSU part, you could tell it's split. And your producer trying to tell me that it's because it's on the radio that I can't understand it. And I don't know where you get your producers from, but at Radio Shack, we know the damn difference, Jim.
You're telling me you can tell the difference, and I'm trying to pull something over on America? Am I hearing this right?
Yeah, you're damn right, Jim. And if you're doing it for stick, that's one thing. Ha-ha, it's funny. But if you guys are trying to tell especially people like us that work and do this stuff and sell this equipment for a living, there is no way in hell that I can't believe people would even fall for it. That's what I'm trying to say. And I like you, Jim. I don't think it's right what you're doing.
I don't do shtick. I don't do things for shtick. I don't pull the wool over anybody's eyes. That's just not who I am or what I'm about.
So you're trying to tell me that that's not a doctored audio?
Well, I'm not trying to tell you. I am telling you.
Jim, I've lost some respect for you today, and I'll tell you what, I don't even know if I'm going to listen to the rest of the show.
Larry in Indiana. That's what Dana in Cedar Rapids, Jan Smack, was talking about. Because I was trying to pull something on America. Because I might be able to fool a lot of America, but not people who work at Radio Shack. Yeah, no kidding, Larry, really? Another great moment. Let me tell you something. If I had nothing better to do and didn't do my prep, didn't do my research, didn't do what I was paid to do, and just wanted to sit here all day long and mess with people, it would be very easy to do. Like, take Larry and his cousin. They work at Radio Shack, and they know the difference. The difference between what? Like, the biggest bit ever? Believe me, I could do that show all day, every single day. And I probably should, given how much fun y'all have with it. Except I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy who gets off on clowning people and making them look bad and making them feel bad. Just know it's not hard to do. I mean, look at these people. Look at the things that they say and do when I come with something that over the top. Last call of the old studio. Why not go to Wisco? Benny in Wisco. Benny, you're closing the show and the studio. What's up, Benny?
Hey, not much, Jim. How are you?
So good. I'm doing great.
Good. Congrats on the last day on the big closing. I just wanted to weigh in with my favorite, and I think most of the clones' favorite topics over the past decade plus, that being parodies and or Jewel. So I just want to leave you with studios last for so long. Even after you're gone, I know that you must flee. But soon I know you will see it was meant to be. And Naj was meant to prove.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a Naj. Very good call.
Naj. A Naj reference. We're going to end the era and this studio with a Naj reference in a Jewel parody. Well, I knew that we were not headed down the right road when he said, you know, Rome, I just want to go back and talk about the things that people remember most and had the most fun with, parodies and Jewel. Nobody enjoyed Jewel references other than you, Benny, and a few other people. Now we're done. And I mean, we're really done. My thanks to Yogi Roth, Terry Stotts, Carlos Dansby, Podcast Tuesday. Don't forget, Daryl Morey is going to drop a little bit later on today. Adam Hawk makes an appearance. Let you inside, behind the curtain a little bit. And we are moving today. It is my last day in this studio. I want to thank everybody who took part over the last 10 years and made this thing great in this spot. We start anew tomorrow from a brand new studio. We will be on the air. Make sure you're there. See you then. We are officially out of this building.